Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful to be gathered together here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the price that has been paid for our salvation, Lord. In each and every aspect, in each and every area of our life, that we walk in the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, this is your service tonight. You run it, God. You do what you need to do tonight to each and every person that's here, each and every person that hears this tape and the sound of their voice. They hear not my prayer. They hear not Gary's teaching, but they hear the Holy Spirit through him. They hear your power, God, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, that you are the Alpha and Omega. There is none other. There is no other way. And, oh, Father, may we get a grasp, a revelation, an understanding in our minds of what's about to be taught tonight. And each and every one has ears to hear what the Spirit would say to them tonight. Now, Father, just go with us through this service. And it is your service once again, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all the people said, Amen.
Hallelujah. And before I start teaching, we have a testimony, a big one. How many? I think everybody here was here last week, except maybe Bill, right? Okay. Oh, you guys remember this. I'll just let Angie tell this. This is a good one.
Okay, last week we prayed for that little boy in my class named Jacob. He's 2 years old. That had chronic heart failure. And Tuesday, I told his mom, you know, I found out she was a Christian.
And I tell for the people that wasn't here, tell them what we prayed.
We prayed not only for God to, you know, not just to heal him, but to give him a new heart. And that was the last time we were going to pray for it. And we were just going to thank him for it from here on out. And that's what I'd been doing all weekend and stuff, you know, every time I think of him. And Tuesday when I got to work, I told her that we'd prayed for him at Bible study and told her what we prayed. And she was like, you know, thank you for praying for him and everything. And the next day she comes in and she's like, well, we went to the cardiologist this morning because they were getting ready to schedule surgery for him. And they took the x-rays and the doctors came out and they're like, we need to take the x-rays again. There's nothing at all on these x-rays. His heart is completely normal. And they went back, did them again, and there's nothing there still. They said, it's just a miracle. And she's like, yeah, it's prayer. She said, it's God. You know?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that something? Isn't? I know other people are praying for that boy. I'm sure there's grandparents involved. Hang on. Let me get this. You know, I'm sure there's grandparents involved and the parents of themselves praying and different ones. But I just believe that we have a part in that. And a part in the reward, you know, everything we do as unto the Lord, and it's of the Lord we receive the reward of the inheritance. Well, just hearing the report's a pretty good reward, wouldn't you say? Isn't that something? And that makes the third one. I remember a real, Andy one night at the church quite a while back brought one, Ethan, I think, to pray for, and it was real terminal and looked bad and everything, totally healed, totally restored. And then not long ago, Janet Rhodes brought the name of a young boy, and same thing, just miraculous, total healing. And so I know other people are praying, but I just like to think God answers our prayers. You know what? Hallelujah. And every person that was in agreement on that, you've all got a part in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you've been so hard on these people. You've had that sword out so strong the last 2 weeks. They don't have any flesh left on them. And I saw some of you looking ahead at the notes here a while ago going, ooh, ow. Now, this one's not going to be as bad. There's really, or you could say as good. I don't know which, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But now the title of tonight's message is called The Two Main Reasons Why Christians Do Not Prosper. Now, that's really not even long. As long as that title is, it's really not long enough. Because what it really means, the title really should be something like this. The Two Main Reasons Why Committed Christians Who Aren't Straddling the Fence, Trying to See How Much in the World They Can Live In and Still Make Heaven, Who Are Seeking the Lord, who are endeavoring to obey him, those kind of Christians, this is the two main reasons why they don't prosper. Okay? Now, if you haven't even started, for a person like that's never even seen the workbook or has never been taught, and you're living in unforgiveness, not willing to forgive, or you're living in strife, this lesson's not for you. Later on you can repent, and then this lesson will be for you. People that are trying to see just how much hell they can live in and still make heaven, you know what I mean by that? How much of the world, just how much can I have the world and Jesus too? You know what I'm talking about. Looking through the Bible, we've all got faults, myself included. And Jesus will walk through hell with you as long as you're trying to get free of those things and go from one stage of glory to another, And we're not talking about a person like that. We're talking about a person who's looking through the Bible trying to find loopholes, reasons they can sin and still make heaven, Now, that person's on the wrong path. We're not talking about that kind of person, okay? All right. But I'm talking about people like yourselves, kind of people that will come out on a Thursday night. I know I mention that a lot. I mention it because the Lord told me it's special to Him. It's special to Him when people care enough about seeking His will to come out on a Thursday night in America, where most of y'all have to go to work tomorrow, but serious enough about God to come out on a Thursday night, He says that's special. And He notices. And there's a record being made of it in heaven, even for Daryl. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He likes that part. See, I told you it's going to be better. Better already. Well, we've taught a lot on finances. I don't know if you guys, some of you were here for the series we taught on it. But the ones that, and He taught us a lot of things. How many of you remember the anointing of increase? Activating the anointing. All those lessons that we went through there. But still yet, we're all living so far below what the Lord, where He wants us to be financially in His kingdom. And I'm in here, I'm wanting to know why. Why, Lord? Because I know the problem's not on His end. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Our Father is not withholding anything from us. He is blessing, now this is a scary thought, but He's blessing every one of us, all that He possibly can, in the condition we're presently in. Now that's a little scary, but it's the truth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, how shall he who withheld not his own son, not also with him freely give us all things? So it's not that God's holding back. He'll freely give us all things, All things, Pat, think about that. So the problem's not on his end. It's on our end. So I've been endeavoring to find out, what's some of the problems here? How many would like to know that? If there's something you can do that would increase the capacity for the Lord to be able to bless you more, I'd like to get in on doing that, wouldn't you? Amen. All right. He's made it real clear to me in the last month, maybe 6 weeks. The Lord made it, I'm starting to read the lesson page now. The Lord has made it clear to me that the two main reasons why Christians do not prosper are these two right here. Number one, Jesus says, they do not give what I tell them to give, and I cannot bless their disobedience. And number two, they do not give in faith. And great big letters, this is the part everyone went ow on. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. And then y'all know this, God does not bless disobedience, right? Now, he gave me some real simple lessons here. I think you'll like this. What?
Nothing.
Nothing. I don't want to say anything. Now, in this lesson here that we're talking about tonight, we're not primarily talking about normal tithes and offerings. We're not talking about that so much. We're talking about those times when the Lord visits you and asks you to give something or to do something for Him. Now, sometimes it is in church, okay? But sometimes it's not. He'll just say, I want you to go do this for so-and-so. I want you to take this, this thing that thou lovest, and I want you to give it to so-and-so. That kind of thing is what I'm talking about. All right, now let's look at the two points. Number one, giving what he tells you. I'm going to read this little story here. This from the book of Luke, chapter 5. I should have had this already marked. And everyone's familiar with this story, but I'm just going to read it again to refresh everyone's memory, and then we're going to look at some points out of it. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Okay, washing their nets. Washing their nets. How'd I do? I caught it anyway, baby. My Oklahoma accent says wash, you know, and I know it's not right, but anyway, verse 3. And Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and that's Peter, and prayed or asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And then he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left off speaking, or when his message was over, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or that means a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. Now notice they had partners, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. I mean, it's a pretty good catch, wouldn't you say? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or the catch of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now everybody's familiar with that passage, right? All right, now, the two points that Jesus said, he said, here's the number two reasons why Christians don't prosper. This is the two number one reasons here. Number one, he says, they don't give what I tell them to give, and I can't bless their disobedience. Now watch this. In this example, we see that the Lord has need of Simon Peter's boat in order to preach a meeting. I mean, the crowds were huge. He's standing by the seashore. They're starting to press on him, you know. He's starting to back him right up into the water. And he's going, I need a platform to preach from. Peter, can I use your boat to preach this message? All right? So he's basically saying, Simon, let me use your boat. Now, get this. Simon could have responded with delayed obedience by saying, Lord, I don't mind for you to use my boat, but we've been fishing all night and I'm really tired. Come back tomorrow and I'll let you use my boat then. Delayed obedience. Would that response have satisfied the need that Jesus was faced with at the moment? Of course not. He needed the boat right then. The crowd was already there. Tomorrow would be too late, and there would be no need for the boat then. Delayed obedience is useless and obtains no blessing. Now stop right there for a minute. Look up at me. Quit reading. It's not polite to be reading when I'm talking. All right, now. Let's get this down. How many of you have ever, either in a church service or maybe just driving to work or just out of the blue all of a sudden says, you hear, let's take a church service. And maybe you were planning on giving a tithe, you know. Let's say you were going to give $20. You already had it. No, that's your tithe. You're going to give $20, okay? And you're just getting ready to write out the check. And a voice on the inside says, I want you to give $100 today. Right after you rebuke the devil, get behind me now, devil, you know. I mean, you look in your checkbook and maybe you've got $130 in there and you go, Lord, I can't afford, I've always told you how many times, the second voice is who? That's the devil. See, the Lord says, I want you to give $100 today. And then you go, I can't afford to do that. Lord, I'll save up, I'll give it next Sunday. Huh? Ever had that happen? You know? Now, just like this case, see, what we don't realize, when the Lord asks you to do something and to give a certain amount at a certain time, to Him, He's got a reason. In the same way, did He have a reason for asking for this boat? See, we get the feeling like, well, the Lord's just testing my faith. I mean, He just checking me out, see if I'm, you know, He wants to see if I'll do this. No, He's got a reason for asking. If he's wanting $100 from you, there's a reason he's wanting the $100. Not only that, he's also wanting to bless you back. You see? And he doesn't mean 3 weeks from now. He doesn't mean next Tuesday. He sure doesn't mean the third Tuesday of next week. You know? He means right now. See, it wouldn't have done any good for Peter to say, well, Lord, you can have it next Sunday. You can have it Tuesday. When did the Lord need it? Right then. Okay? Now, we sometimes think, well, partial obedience gets partial blessing. You know, if I give 30% of what the Lord asked for, then maybe I'll get 30% of the blessing. How much blessing do you think there would have been in this case if Peter said, come back tomorrow, I'll let you use it tomorrow?
Zero.
And that's what you get. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If the Lord asked you for something now, he means now. He doesn't mean 2 weeks from now. Get that? That's part of half of point number one. Delayed obedience. Say it with me. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Excuse me. Now, that's delayed obedience. Let's look at partial obedience. Or Simon could have responded with partial obedience. He could have said, Lord, you want my boat? Now, you know that my entire living depends on the use of this boat. You do know I'm a commercial fisherman. I don't mind if you need some of my things, but really, asking for the boat, I mean, that's just going too far. That's just too much. Tell you what, I can't let you use the boat, but I will loan you 2 oars and a good net. I'm telling you, Jesus talks to me like this. He brings examples out like this. Now, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? What in the world? Can you see Jesus? I mean, he's got a reason for asking for this boat, right? Simon, can I use your boat? I mean, there's obviously a real, bona fide, legitimate reason why Jesus wants the boat. See? But we're so spiritually dense, you know, we can't always, you know, perceive what Jesus is doing. So he comes and asks. But like in that case there, no, you can't use my boat. Here's 2 oars and a net. Can you see Jesus standing there? Oh, great. This will work. 2 oars and a net. This solves the problem. Yes. You know? Well, we do the same thing all the time. He'll come in and say, I want that $100. I'll give you 20. It won't get the job done. He had a reason for asking for the $100. And by the way, this message for certain people in the room was already prepared before certain events today. But anyway, okay. I didn't have it typed, but I had it ready. Anyway, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Give Jesus 2 oars and a net. Jesus did not need 2 oars and a net. He needed the boat. See, partial obedience is also useless, and it obtains no blessing. Everyone say, no,
no.
Blessing. All right. Thank God, Peter fully obeyed the Lord, and he did it immediately. And look at the blessing that he obtained. A net-breaking, I like the way Oral Roberts puts it, a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish at a time of day when no other fisherman could catch anything. Fishermen on that lake fish at night. The water's so clear, and they fish with nets. If you fish during the day, the fish see the nets, and they get away. See? So you don't go fishing in that sea during the daytime. That's why they toiled all night. And Jesus says, not go out right now, right in the middle of the day, for a catch. That's why it took so much faith for Peter to do it. Well, all right, we've already fished during the good time. We didn't catch anything, but at your word, we'll go let down the net. You know, I know you're a carpenter from Nazareth. You don't know much about fishing, but but we're going to go do it, you know. I mean, I've been fishing my whole life. I've never caught fish here during the day, but anyhow. But because of their full and immediate obedience in big letters, now get this, God made a difference between Peter's fishing business and all of the other fishermen on the lake. Now get this, I don't care what kind of jobs you have. I don't care if you're in business for yourself. I don't care if the weather's bad. When you obey what Jesus says to do quickly, immediately, and quietly, without argument, he will make a difference in your finances and the finances of everybody else around you. You understand me? I don't care if nobody has ever caught fish during the daytime on that lake. When they put down the nets at his word, all Jesus has to say is, hit the net. You with me? Now listen, when it comes to your finances, you obey him. All he has to say is just send the angels out to whisper in people's ears, hit their pocketbook. Give back to them. Give so-and-so a raise. He obeyed me. And they won't even know why they're doing it. Fish, do they know why they do stuff? You know? But when the Lord God Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, when he says hit the net, they hit the net. All right? And when the Lord commissions angels to go talk to people to prosper you or give you an idea that nobody else has about how to make money in bad weather, you know, or whatever, when he does that, it's a done deal. And he'll make a difference between you and everybody else. That's called having a covenant with God. All right? Now, Jesus has not changed. When you quickly and quietly obey him, you can expect him to bless you and make a difference between you and the world. Now, before I go any further, I want to give you an example, a couple of examples that's going on right now. How many of y'all want to obey the Lord? Do y'all understand that a lot of times when Jesus asks you to do something, we don't understand why? Now, in Peter's case, he was right there. He could physically see the need. I mean, here's Jesus fixing to preach, and here's all these thousands of people pressing upon him. I mean, the reason he could see why Jesus needed the boat. So Peter kind of had a leg up on us. A lot of times, though, when Jesus asks us to give something or to do something, you know, we can't see into the spirit realm that clear. We don't really understand why. Jesus talked about a 30-fold work, 60-fold work, and a 100-fold work. A 100-fold work where you get the best blessing, that's where you do exactly what the Lord tells you to do. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. You just do exactly what he says. Now, to the degree that you add to it with your own wisdom or take away from what he said with your own wisdom, to that same degree, you just open the door for the enemy to come in and start destruction in that work. You with me? Okay. Now, a couple of examples. While Sue and I were gone on vacation, I told you all I had 2.5 weeks, and we did lots of driving, 4,450 miles. And during a big part of that time, we were just riding, seeing the scenery, and you know, we would just pray quietly in other tongues. And remembering my driving days at Crane Carrier, I took my tape recorders, I took my notebooks. I expected God to just talk to me all during that whole 2.5 weeks. I was literally looking forward to it. 2.5 weeks, I never heard him say nothing. And we're talking lots of hours of praying in other tongues. The only thing that I kept seeing in my spirit, I kept seeing me like a vision over at this land that we own in an abandoned building that's been abandoned for 10 years. By myself, praying. And that would come, and I'd see that for a little while, and then it would go away, and then I'd keep praying, and it would come again. And that's all that I saw during that whole trip. After 2.5 weeks of getting the same vision, you know, I go, I got a clue here. Sue, I got a revelation. I think God wants me to go pray at this building. And I haven't even been in that building in God knows how long. So I get over here intending to obey God. You know, I go over there. The thing's abandoned for 10 years. There's no electric. There's no water. There's dirt dauber nests all over the walls. The crud on the floor is 1/2 inch deep. I mean, the place is nasty. Scorpions crawling around. And I'm going, you know, you take one look at that and you go, must have missed God. You know, can't be. But I knew that I knew what God said. I knew that he wanted me praying there. So I come back and I get the brooms and I get stuff and I start sweeping the thing out and scraping the dirt dauber nests off the walls and I'm doing all this, you know, and I get the electric turned on at least. I still don't have the water on. I can't get them out there so far. But at least I got the electric on. I put a little electric heater in there, but it doesn't really keep up. I mean, you know, you have to kind of huddle right over it while you pray when it's cold like today. And so I've been going over there every day just like he told me and praying. Well, now, this morning I went over there. And for y'all that don't know on the tape, we've had like 4 days of drizzle and cold. Everything is wet and depressing. We haven't seen the sun in like 4 days, you know. And to be honest with you, I've had some symptoms in my chest, congestion. I haven't felt real well the last couple of days. You know, I've been making my confessions on healing, but sometimes there's that standing time. But I didn't really physically feel very good this morning. So I get over there, and it's pitch black dark, and I got my little light bulb on in that place. And I'm starting to pray. And, oh, by the way, the roof leaks. I don't know if I told you that. You have to kind of stand in between the drops. So I do pretty good for like the first hour. I'm obeying God. Everyone say, Gary's obeying God.
Gary's obeying God.
I knew what he said. I know he said go over there and pray. So I'm over there praying. God, I love Akosin that Abiastos. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. By your stripes I was healed. I praise your name, Jesus. I'm over here, Kodalabandi, Stiminian Katoro, and I'm praying in other tongues, you know, and just doing what God told me to do. And I did okay for about the first hour. But after an hour, I want you to know all of a sudden, my emotions, I didn't recognize what it was. I'm usually pretty good at recognizing my emotions. I mean, something rose up big in me that wanted to be anywhere but there. Okay? And here I started this little pity party. You don't ever make Gerald do stuff like this. Sue's over in our nice, dry, warm house. You don't tell her to come over here and stomp scorpions while she prays.
Thank you,
know,
Father.
I'm standing here praying in between the drops, you know. And God, you know I've got a perfectly dry house over there. And I don't understand, you know, you know. And I'm going, I don't feel good anyway. And here I am, I don't, you know, shouldn't be out in this damp and this cold and all this, feeling like this. And just, boy, I'll start having me just a real pity party, okay? Now, I usually catch that pretty fast. I've trained myself over the years not to live by my emotions. But, you know, when you don't feel good, I think it's easier, you know. And it's about 15 minutes, which for me is a long time. And I've learned a long time ago, you can't wallow in that stuff. You start wallowing in that, it just gets worse and worse. But it suddenly came to my mind, wait a minute. That's my emotions talking. And boy, I got mad. I turned on those emotions. And here's what I said. I said, you do not rule me. I'm over here because this is what Jesus told me to do. I'm glad to be here, emotions. You shut up and start getting in line. God, I thank you for this building. It's better here than standing right out in the pasture. You could have told me to stand out there. I'd be really wet, you know? And I started thanking God for anything I could think of, which I had to work at it. Yeah. Thank you for the light bulb. I have one light bulb that works. Thank you, God. Thank you for this little heater that I can huddle over. You know? Now, thank you, I don't see any scorpions right now. You know? And you know, I just started praying. I said, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that even while I'm over here praying, He's teaching me all these mysteries, and I just appreciate it. And by that time, the sun was starting to come up, and I could see outside a little bit. And the leaves are pretty this time of year, you know. And I was going, oh, God, I thank you for these pretty leaves. Just anything I could think of, you know, trying to worship God. And then I started singing. Did you feel like singing? No! I started singing anyway. I mean, I'm just trying to obey God. That's what He told me to do, be over there praying. So I'm over there praying. So I start singing to God. Don't feel like it at all. The name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous run into, and they are safe. Now, when I start singing, you know it's God, okay? It's not talent. I want you to know my emotions. It's like they got on a horse and rode off fast, those bad emotions. I started actually getting happy about being over there. And you know what? After about 30 minutes of that, I felt good about being there, and my symptoms left. Glory to God. And at the end of that, about 5 minutes before I left there today, he has me stay there till 10 o'clock. About 5 minutes before I left, he told me something that I can't even tell you all yet. You'll get it a few weeks from now. You know, but that's how he does. He just teaches, you know. I mean, I'm telling you, that one little thing that he told me right there is going to change some lives. It's going to, you know, it's working in me already, changing lives, you know. So is it worth it to go over there and obey God? Yeah. All right, now, I want to talk about one other thing that happened today. I'm not going to use names because some of the people are in this room. Now, again, we're talking about when everybody does their part by obeying what the Lord tells them to do, quickly and quietly. You parents in the room, when you tell your kids to do something, do you want them doing like I did this morning? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll take out the trash, but I don't know why I have to take out the trash. You never ask my brother to take out the trash, you know. You just don't love me as much as you love Gerald, you know, and all of that. Is that what y'all like to hear?
Yeah.
When you tell them something, you want them to obey quickly and quietly. Everyone say quickly.
Quickly.
And quietly.
Quietly.
Now that's the way the Lord wants us to obey. And when everybody does their part, everything works. Now, for example, I went to have lunch today with a man who is a regular donor, contributor to what we do here. Every week he gives me a check. It's always on, 99% of the time on Thursdays, and usually Thursday evening. And today I went to have lunch with him, and for some reason he gave me the check today. Now, I'm, you know, thank God for faithful people, okay, that gives every week. Glory to God. And he normally gives it to me Thursday evening, so I'm used to depositing that check on Friday, okay? So we got through having lunch, and I'm headed home. And I mean, I no more got in my car than the Holy Ghost said, go to the bank and deposit that check right now. And I start, you know, now, I just said that this way. I said, the Holy Ghost said, okay? Well, it was the Holy Ghost. But when you hear that kind of stuff, it sometimes it just seems like a thought. You know, it does to me too, you guys. It's not like, hello, I'm the Holy Ghost. You know, I mean, you know, it's thought come to me, you know, go to the bank and deposit that check right now. All right, and I'm going, that's silly. I'm going to, you know, I always go over on Friday and deposit. I'll just do it tomorrow. Came again, right immediately, strong. Go to the bank and deposit that check right now. When I first thought, let me back up a little bit. I talked with that person later. I said, why did you give me that check at noon today? He said, well, God told me to. And he argued with God a little bit about that. I always give him the check Thursday night. You know, all right, I want you to give it to him today at noon. So he obeyed. He obeyed, okay? All right. Well, after I heard that voice the second time, I said, okay, I'll just head to the bank. I'll do this. Now, the trouble is, I'd been sitting there for about an hour and a half at that restaurant drinking coffee. And about halfway from the restaurant to the bank, boy, I got the urge bad to go to the bathroom. I mean, have you ever tried driving a car with your legs crossed? You know? I mean, you know, I know, serious. We're talking serious here. You know, I start going, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to go home. You know, I can deposit this tomorrow. I got to go use the bathroom. I'm just going to go straight to the house, you know, use it. And again,
I know Joni and Nancy and Colleen are just laughing at me.
Probably. But anyway, you know, again, I was thinking, I'm just going to go home. I got to go, you know. And that voice again, go to the bank and deposit that check right now. Oh, man. Okay, you know, I'm about halfway across town, so man, I'm going, I think they got a bathroom at that bank. I hope to God they got a bathroom at that bank, you know. And I get over there, and just as I'm pulling in the parking lot, I pull in right behind somebody else who comes to the Bible study fairly regular, you know. And we, hey, how you doing, all that, and going in the bank. Well, I went straight, you know, he went to the teller. I went straight to the bathroom, okay. And, I come out of there, and I'm just standing there at that little desk thingy they got, you know, to fill out my deposit slip and everything. And I see him over, you know, over there at the teller window. And I'm just doing my thing. And I'm going to deposit this check today, just like, you know, what I kept hearing the Lord say. And I'm not even through with that yet. And he's done. He comes by, and he lays a check on there for $100. I'm going, my standard response, glory to God, you know. Thank you, Jesus, or something like that, you know. Hallelujah. And come to find out, at the teller window, they had made a mistake in this person's favor that amounted to $100. And they showed it to him. As soon as he saw it, he heard the Holy Ghost say, you need to sow that into Gary's ministry. He obeyed. Now, I'm sure for a moment he went, well, now, wait a minute. You know, or maybe not. I don't know if he did it. He didn't tell me. If he's like most people, you kind of go, you know, wait a minute. You know, I just got this $100. But no, he'll quickly and quietly right then. Now, God had a reason for instructing him to do that. God wants to bless this person, and this person needs the blessing. Okay? I'm excited to hear the report that comes back on his obedience. But I want you to see how God works everything together. If the first guy had not gone ahead and written the check at noon, which is unusual, okay? Everything wouldn't have worked. And if I hadn't gone ahead and gone right, oh, I got to tell you, because the guy said to me after he gave me the check, he says, well, I know that was the Lord that told me that, but you know, if I hadn't seen you pull in right when I did, I don't know that I would have connected. I don't know if I'd have thought of that. You see, the timing was important, you know, just to help, you know, when the Lord says, I want you to sow that, and then I'm standing right there, you see? Well, I'm just trying to show you how the Lord is working everything together. The first guy in this domino chain today, all he knew was, I need to write the check at noon today. Okay, that's all he knew, which was different. But by him being obedient, okay, and then me going ahead and going straight to the bank right then so that we'd meet up, and the timing, I'm standing right there when this guy gets $100 he didn't even know he had. And then the Lord says, I want you to sow it into Gary, and he looks up, and I'm right there. You know, now we just haven't heard the rest of the domino yet. I'm eager to hear the rest of it. You know, how the Lord's going to bless that person. But now, I want you to see the timing involved. See, delayed obedience. What if I hadn't have done that? What if I'd have gone on home, used the bathroom, and gone tomorrow to deposit that check? Now, basically, in my case, I don't know what the other person's blessing is going to be, but in my case, I would have cut myself off from a $100 blessing that God was trying to get to me. And then we go around going, I don't know why that giving and receiving works for everybody else, and I can't get it. You know, it just never seems to work for me. Well, timing has a lot to do with it. Obeying quickly and quietly has a lot to do with it. When the Lord says to give a certain amount, He means a certain amount. Last week, we happened to write a check on Wednesday night for $25. That's what to give at Dave Roberson's, you know. And I wrote a check for $25. And then we was getting ready to go Sunday, and I was praying in here, and I heard the Lord tell me to write a check for 70. I'll just go ahead and, you know, write a check for 70 bucks. And now, that's what He said. I knew He said $70. Now, my mind gets involved, you know. Nobody in here has trouble with their mind but me, right? I'm thinking. Well, you know, I gave 25 Wednesday night. I ought to just go ahead and give 75. We'll just make it a smooth 100 for the week, you know. And I heard Him say just as plain as you're hearing my voice right now. He said, what did I say? What did I say? You said $70. How about not adding to or taking away from that? How about just doing what I say?
To me during the service before we were getting ready to give, mm-hmm. And he told me to give this specific amount to the
excuse me,
minister's wife,
mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Father, I don't think I have that much in my purse. And immediately, I mean, right at that second, this lady in front of me to the left reached her hand back there with a wad of cash that was more than what he had told me to give. And I said, well, Father, you want me to just give her all of it? Which I was very happy to do. And he said, no, that's adding to my word.
That's right. That's right.
So.
That's right.
That just flips me
out. Yeah.
He would always want the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, I had the same thing happen to me. Just a few days ago when he told me 2 days in a row, and I let it slide that one day. You know, it was like that thought in the back of your mind, I want you to sow a certain amount in this person's ministry. Well, Father, they don't have ministry. I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just put it to the side. You know, they don't preach or anything yet. They're going to, but... And so... The next day I heard it again. I said, Gary, I think the Lord wants me to give a certain amount to this person's ministry. And he said, sounds like God to me. Just then that person comes by in the car and waves at us. So when I get to the church, I can't find him. And I keep looking for him. And then this other lady who has never given into our ministry before, she comes up to me just crying and hands me more than what the Lord told me to give him.
But see, you'd already made up your mind in your heart
to do it at that point.
See? Now I want you to go ahead and say what you were starting to say a while ago, because everybody is hearing this tape had those same thoughts.
I just said that flipped me out, because I would always think that I would have always thought that he would have wanted as much as you could give.
Okay.
I'd want as much as anybody could get, you know.
See?
I'd say 70. Like,
see, and that's the way we think. Because we can't see in the spirit what he's seeing. He always has a reason. Now, did you notice a while ago in that story I read that Peter had partners? They had two boats. Did you notice that? The net began to break, you know, and so he called for his partners that were in the other boat, and they come over and helped. Now, what if Peter had had the same attitude like Tammy? And I'm just, it's just because you had guts enough to say it. You know, well, if one boat's good, two boats would be better. They had two boats in this fishing company. Did Jesus need two boats? No, he didn't need two boats. He needed one boat. The Lord, everyone say, the Lord
knows what he's doing.
That's part of what makes him Lord. See, he can see the whole picture. He knows what's going on. You know, if he asked me for $70, he means $70. I mean, he's got a voice. He can say $75. You know, but if it's $70 he wants, $70 you get, Lord. You know, you see what I'm saying? All right, now, a lot of people in here or maybe that would hear this tape would say, I don't ever, you know, I ask the Lord what he wants me to give, and I listen, and I don't hear anything. I know that. I have those times myself, okay? But let's not talk about that for a minute. We're talking about those times where you did hear him. And it's not always money either, you guys. I remember one time, it wasn't the leather coat I have now, but it was the first real leather coat I ever owned in my life. And I've always liked those bomber-type jackets, you know, leather coat ones. I've always liked those things. This was quite a few years ago. Boy, I had this, I mean, the first one I'd ever owned. I liked that coat, you know. And I was driving along. I was still in the construction business in those days. And I was driving along, and it was rain. It was kind of a day a lot like today, but raining a little harder, real nasty and cold, and where that cold just seeps into, you know. And there was this guy hitchhiking along the road. I was younger and more foolish in those days, and I picked him up, put him in the car. And this was back in our witness to the fence post days, Tammy, you know. Well, you getting my pickup, you're getting witness to. I mean, I just started like a house of fire witnessing to this guy. And I was just, you know, I mean, I was telling him and I was telling him and I was telling him about that time the Holy Ghost said, oh, shut up. Okay. He said, I didn't have you pick him up for that. Give him your coat. I got to looking and the guy, you know, I hadn't even really noticed. He had like a t-shirt and a very, very light windbreaker, and it was soaked to the bone, you know. You know, and here I've got on this really nice leather coat, but I've got warm coats at home, you know, and this guy don't. He's a street person. And the Lord says, I did not have you pick him up to beat him over the head with the Bible. Give the man your coat. You know, the coat thou lovest. Well, he didn't, you know, but it's so like that. The coat thou lovest is the way it came across to me. And I'm going, I'll let him back out, Lord. I shouldn't have picked him up in the first place. I knew it was a mistake, you know. He was serious about it. He was serious about it. So then I just got to talking to the guy. I wound up buying him a hamburger, some french fries, some food, and gave him my coat. And it's been a lot of years. I gave him some money. I can't, you know, like $5 or $10, whatever I had on me, you know. And then dropped him off where he wanted to be dropped off at. Now, since that time, I can't even tell you how many coats the Lord has blessed me with. But I've never, ever been without coats. And I've got a leather coat right now that I just love. And if the Lord says,
there it goes,
you know. But the Lord, you know, we just assume things. Like, well, I just assume he'd always want more. Well, I just assume if the Lord had me pick this guy up, he wants me to witness to him. And that's not even what he wanted. This, you know, God was interested in this man surviving, physically surviving. I mean, it was bad weather, and he wanted the man to have a coat. He had me pick him up so I could be the one to bless him with it. Well, obedience should be done quickly and quietly. What if I'd have said, Lord, he'll be out here hitchhiking again sometime. I've got other coats. I can wait till I see him again. I'll carry a spare coat with me right behind the seat, I swear. And you just bring me by his path again, and I'll give him a different coat. Y'all think that would have worked? You think the Lord would have been pleased with that at all? Now, does the Lord have, can he get coats back to me? Is there any shortage of coats in heaven? Dear God, you know, our thinking is just so weird. It's sick! Oh, no, that was the other message. Sick, I tell you. All right. Have y'all got the part about when he tells you to give what he tells you, when he tells you, whether it be money, whether it be a coat, or he may tell you to do something. That's another thing, too. He may say, I want you to go over and mow so-and-so's lawn. And maybe that same so-and-so was ugly to you the last time you saw him. And he says, well, I didn't ask you nothing about that. I want you to go mow their lawn. Now, the part we have to have faith in is understand the Lord would not ask you to do that if he didn't have a reason. He didn't ask for Peter's boat trying to put him to some kind of a foolish test. He had a reason for asking for the boat. We're going to look at another one here where he asked for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had a reason. He had a reason for it. He wasn't just trying to put somebody to a foolish test. That's the way we think. Well, he's just testing my faith. The Lord is more practical than that. Your faith will get tested in the midst of it, all right. But he is doing something in the earth, and he's trying to make you a part of it. And if you'll get in there and obey him quickly and quietly, and this is the same whether you're your age or our age, it doesn't make any difference. If you learn to obey that voice, then he can return blessings to you. And just like Peter and these guys, I mean, if you're a commercial fisherman and that's the way your family lives, is by you catching fish, let me tell you something, a net breaking, boat sinking load of fish is a good thing. Okay? It's a good thing, right? All right. He wants to prosper you. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus told me for people like us in this room tonight, people that are serious about God, people that are living for God, you know, and going on with God and you know, not you know, trying to see how much they can sin and still make heaven. You know, for people that are serious with God, he says that this is the number two reasons that keeps me from being able to prosper them like I want to. Number one, they don't give what I tell them, and they don't give when I tell them. That's number one, see. All right, now number two, let's talk about that. They don't give in faith. Now, item two, giving in faith. Jesus is our role model. Can everyone say amen? We're supposed to pattern ourselves after him, isn't that right? Okay. Now, a good example of his giving in faith is when he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Notice, first of all, that reason number one was followed. He was given what he asked for. And you can look it up in Matthew 14:18. He asked what's available, and they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, here you go. This is just like when he comes to you on Sunday and says, I want you to give $70. Look what he says. He said, bring them hither to me. Now, that boy whose lunch it was, he could have done the same thing that Peter did. He could have said, I'm really hungry today. You can have my lunch tomorrow. Would that have worked? No. What if he said, well, I'll let you have 1 loaf? Partial obedience. That wouldn't have worked either, would it? Okay? But that's not the point on this second part. Look at this. Jesus said, bring them hither to me. And this time it was done quickly and quietly. Jesus understands how the anointing of increase works. And he knows better than to present an offering without speaking words of faith over it. Now notice, now he's got the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes in his hands. But before he starts doing anything with it, now watch what he does. This is what we haven't been doing. Watch what he does. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And y'all know the rest of the story. That kept after he blessed it, it kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, and they fed probably more than 10,000 people, because it says 5,000 men, not counting the wives, not counting the children that were there. You're probably looking at least 10,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then when it's all over, they gather up 12 baskets full, which to me rightfully belongs to the little boy. Quite a harvest. Quite a harvest off your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Was he diminished by giving his 5 loaves and 2 finished? I don't think so. When Peter loaned his boat, was he diminished? I don't think so. Got 2 boatloads full of fish. Now, but what did Jesus do that we're not doing? He spoke words. He blessed. See, the literal meaning of the word bless means to empower to prosper. Now, when he spoke words over those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, something supernatural happened. Those words tapped in. They activated the anointing of increase that he has on him. He spoke his faith over the offering. Now listen, while Jesus was among us with his own earthly flesh and blood body, you know, he had a mouth of his own on earth to speak the words of faith himself. In other words, he could take that offering in his hands. He had a physical body on the earth. He has his own mouth. He can speak the blessing himself. He doesn't need you. Thank you very much. Okay? But now watch. He's in heaven in a glorified body now, seated at the right hand of the Father. Physically, he's not on the earth today. You got me? All right, now. We are his body on the earth today. His mouth is our mouth. Everyone take your finger and touch your lips. Touch your lips. Say, that's my mouth. But that's also Jesus' mouth. All right, now. If we don't speak the blessing, it simply does not get spoken, you guys. Jesus didn't give that offering without speaking his faith over it. You go back to Peter's situation, he really didn't, they didn't catch that without him speaking either. What did he say? Launch out into the deep for a catch. When Jesus, the Logos, the Word of God, says, launch out into the deep for a catch, that don't mean maybe. If you're going to launch out there, you're going to get a catch. When he spoke that, he blessed that fishing trip right there. Okay? Now, if we don't speak the blessing, though, because it's our mouth, we're the body of Christ, it simply does not get spoken. Let me ask you, do you think the offering would have multiplied supernaturally if he had not spoken the blessing to it? What do y'all think? No, it wouldn't. Huh? Of course not. Now get this, and neither will ours. Is Jesus our role model? Are we supposed to pattern after him? Did he speak words over the offering? Should we speak words over the offering? How many of you do every Sunday? Hello. 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 Sometimes. And sometimes we get blessed, you know. Speaking the words of faith over your offering activates. Everyone says activates.
Activate.
The anointing of increase. See, he's on the inside of us. The whole gospel is Christ, the anointed one, in us, our hope of glory. That same anointing that multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That same anointing, Pat, lives permanently just inside you, right in there. That same anointing. How in God's name do we get it working for us? How about the same way he got it working? Speak the word over it. Speak the blessing over it. It didn't multiply for him without him speaking over it. But we keep thinking it's going to multiply for us without us speaking over it. No, it won't either. How many of y'all can testify it won't? You know? Not to the degree that it should. All right, now. Speaking words of faith over your offering activates the anointing of increase that abides on Jesus Christ the Lord. And I only had room for those 4 words. The angels, 5. The angels hearken to it. But where I get that is from Psalms 103 where it says the angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God. Say voice.
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 You see, boy, you got... Everyone say voice. Now look, if you're not, is it possible to voice something without speaking it?
No.
You know, you can have thoughts without speaking them, right? You know, we can have thoughts without, but you cannot voice the Word of God without speaking the Word of God. That if we'd ever get it straight, angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God, not your good intentions, not how much you know about the anointing, not all of your knowledge and thoughts and all that on the inside. If you're not giving voice to it, they're sitting around playing cards or whatever angels do. You understand what I'm saying? They've got nothing to do. If there's no voice of the Word of God coming out your mouth, they've got nothing to do. They're going around, well, this guy, he's 50, you know, talking about, he's nearly 50 years old. Is he ever going to wise up? Here he's got all these angels that's full of might and power. Ready, willing, and able to go to work. We've been hanging around this guy for 50 years, and he's been taught by the best. But is he voicing the word yet? No. Well, let's break out another deck of cards. Maybe he'll wise up next week. Or whatever angels do. I don't know what they do when they're not working.
They watch TV.
They watch TV. That was Sean Montgomery for the nationwide audience. The angels hearken to it. And if it's not coming out of your mouth, they're not hearkening to it. And the Holy Ghost explained it to Kenneth Hagin like this. He said, look, y'all do understand that Satan himself, the fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan himself, he does not do all of the work of the devil. He's got all these demons. They go out and they're fallen angels. They go out and they influence people to do bad things. They say, you ought to go sleep with that gal. You ought to try and talk her into shacking up with her. You ought to go rob that bank. You ought to get ugly with your employer. You ought to cheat on your wife. You ought to quit going to that church, and you for sure ought to quit going to that Thursday night Bible study. And God, for God's sake, don't send no money. You know what I'm saying? Don't they? These are fallen angels. They influence people for evil. Well, guess what unfallen angels do? They work for God. They work for the Holy Ghost. And they influence people for good. You start getting obedient with your giving. Giving in faith and speaking what we're fixing to speak over this stuff. You will activate your angels. And they'll go start influencing people for good. Who do you think it was spoke to that guy at the bank today? Who do you think that was? And he said the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was. Could have been an angel too. They influence people for good. You need to give that to Gary's ministry. That's a good angel. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying now? But if you don't, I mean, it's not just giving like that. What about promotion on your job? What about favor wherever you go? How come it is everywhere? If you start activating this, people start saying, well, how come you always get the best deal every time you go buy a car? You always have such favor. Well, it's because those angels are standing there when you're negotiating, and they're standing there with that guy going, you really ought to give this person a good deal. I mean, really, you ought to, you know. And they don't know why. All of a sudden, they're going, yeah, we're going to knock $3,000 off. And he goes, why did I say that? Well, that angel was talking to him. You see? You activate your angels by giving. How? How do you do it? By giving voice. Well, voice to the Word of God. Yes, you got to give quickly and quietly. But the angels, see, now here's, okay, I'm glad you said that. Hey, that was God. Listen, I'm glad you said that. Because it's not the giving that activates the angels. Nowhere do you find in the Bible. That's what we tend to think, though. I gave, my angels are working. You can't find, I challenge you to go all through the Bible and find where giving activates angels. It always has to do with words. Always. Always has to do with words. Your giving does not activate the angels. Speaking the Word of God, giving voice to the Word of God, activates the angels. See, it's kind of like this. What if we were all like the little boy with the lunch? Okay? I mean, the whole deal there, that whole miracle hinged on one thing and one thing only. That's the anointing of increase. Right? Now, okay, let's take the little boy with the lunch. He sees the 5,000 or the 10,000 people. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, let's say he's a good kid. And he says, well, gee, you know, I already ate breakfast this morning. These people are hungrier than I am. And without going through Jesus, the anointed one, he just starts going over to hand out his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, if it's a little boy's lunch, how far is that going to go? Well, if the first person's an adult, one. Okay? Now, what's the end result? He gave. Didn't he give? Okay? What's the end result? He has nothing, and the needs of 4,999 were not met. And it's over. Does that sound like anybody's giving to you? Sadly, that's a pretty good picture of the church today. We give. We don't know how to tap into the anointing of increase. We don't know how to get into the supernatural of God and get that anointing that's on Jesus to flow in. So we're diminished and the needs aren't met. And maybe we can save out a little money next week and give some more. Now that's pretty much the picture of the giving in the church, because we have not known how to tap into the anointing. I mean, God would like a cycle started where you give, you get. Hey, if everybody in here tonight, people are saved for all different lengths of years in here, but if every one of you had 12 times back in your pocket right now, every dollar you had ever sown into the kingdom in your lifetime, just take all the money you added all up, if somehow there's a record, and you added up everything you'd ever given, and right now, at this moment, you had 12 times that in your pocket, wouldn't be too many financial problems in this room tomorrow. Now, that's a 12-fold. I just use 12 because that's what that little boy got. But Jesus talks about 30-fold. How about 30 times? 60-fold? How about 100-fold? Are y'all aware that a single apple seed will produce a tree that over the lifetime of that tree will produce 25,000 apples? How's that for a rate of return off of one seed? 25,000 apples from one seed. There is no shortage from God's point of view. The way He set this up, He designed the earth for abundance. The only reason there's lack is we don't listen to God. We don't do what He says. We listen to the enemy. And he's been stealing, killing, and destroying ever since. We have not known how to do these things. I know you've got something. You ready now?
The reason that it's our words that activate the angels when we're speaking God's word is because His word itself says that it will. In Psalms 103, verse 20, "Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word." Mm-hmm. The voice. We are the ones that give voice to the word of God on this earth. Mm-hmm. "You ministers of His who do His pleasure." That's why it works that way, because God planned it.
Psalms 103:20. Hallelujah. And 21. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to the action page now. Now, for those of you that's been coming a long time, you've got this top confession on here. This one was written really before I knew that much about the anointing of increase. But I'm telling you, this is a confession I still make every day. Betty Rogers has this one cut out and framed, hanging down there at the where she works at the beauty salon. And she said just immediately, when she comes in every day, she says this. And she said right away when she did that, her business started picking up. Well, why? This is all straight out of the Word of God, just paraphrased into confession form. So when you're giving voice to this, you're giving voice to the Word of God, and your angels can go to work. And they go around up and down the streets out there going, "Get your hair done at Betty's. Betty. Betty Rogers, get your hair. No, turn left. Betty's right down here. Get your hair done at Betty's." See, you know, they're out there influencing people. That's their job. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and read this daily confession. "I thank you, Father, that I and my family walk in divine health all the days of our lives. I thank you that you prosper us in all that we set our hand to do this day. I thank you for the ministering angels camp round about us, and I command you, ministering angels, in Jesus' name, go forth and make our path straight and keep us from any harm of the evil one. I thank you, Father, that I and my family are growing in wisdom and stature and have favor with God and man. Favor and much grace in Jesus' name. Now, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you up and cast you out. You cannot come against us in any way, shape, or form. I thank you, Father, that you are blessing me and my family in all that we set our hand to this day. I thank you..." Now, wait a minute. Is that only on the good days that you say this?
No.
Okay. All right, just make sure, there's a check.
Especially on the bad days.
That's right. "I thank you that we are Jesus-made people. I place all of our cares and our needs at your feet, for I know that you care for us, and you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you that all of our needs are met. I thank you that all of our bills are paid." Now, what do you say, though, when the bills are stacked up and there's not enough money? Oh, you still say? Okay. You still say that, huh? "I thank you that all of our bills are paid." Hallelujah. "And that there are thousands and..." I like the way Norville says this. "I thank you, Lord, that there's thousands and 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 thousands." He says, stupid people say hundreds. I say thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. Ignorant people, they don't say nothing at all. But I say thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in our checking account over and above our expenses and what we need to live. Hallelujah. I like that. How do y'all know that Norval Hayes is a multi-millionaire and preaches like 20-some-odd days a month? I mean, he just makes millions on the side. Glory to God. But he says, thousands and thousands and thousands. You know, stupid people say hundreds. I say thousands and thousands. And ignorant people, they don't say nothing at all. But I say thousands and thousands and thousands. And he's a multi-millionaire on the side. He preaches 20-some-odd days a month, you know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This stuff works. We are self-sufficient, lacking nothing, and able to give abundantly into every good work. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, y'all have had that one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this one is designed specifically. And for those of you that have the tapes, that we taught quite a while back. The first one was the anointing of increase. The second one, I think, was called activating the anointing or something like that. And then the third one was called the law of increase. Those three tapes. The message on there, God told Ezekiel to prophesy to dead bones. When Ezekiel began to speak to those bones the way God told him to, the Holy Spirit went into action, put meat on those bones. They raised up and they lived. Now, if God can do that with dead bones, what do you think He can do with all that seed that you've sown in your past all that time that's still out there as far as God's concerned because you never got the harvest off of it? Think He could bring life to that seed that you never gotten the harvest off of yet? Even in the natural, when they go back and they excavate the pyramids and they find those jars of seed that's been in there for 6,000 years, they bring it out and they plant it. It'll still grow. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with your seed. It's still out there. But you've never known, we have, the church at large has never known to speak the voice of the Word of God over that seed. So the angels, they've got nothing to, you know, there's nothing for them to work with. Well, this confession is designed specifically to speak. I speak it every day. And we'll just, y'all read this one with me. Say, right after I speak, then you speak, okay? Say, I speak the anointing of increase. That abides on the Lord Jesus Christ. Over every seed that I have ever sown into the kingdom of God. I speak to all of that seed. And I say, live. Holy Spirit, breathe on my seed. Cause it to live. Cause it to grow and multiply. And come to full maturity, ready for the harvest. Angels, go forth and reap the harvest from every seed that reaches maturity. And cause that harvest to come back to me abundantly. Father, I thank you for the anointing of increase that abides on Christ Jesus my Lord. I thank you for the quickening, life-giving power that comes by the Holy Spirit. I thank you for sending forth these angels who minister for me. Thank you, Father, for providing all of my need according to your riches and glory by the anointed Jesus, my Lord. Thank you, Father, for providing this method of grace, for multiplying my seed sown, and always causing me to have more than enough for my own needs and an abundance left over to give into every good work. I love you. Now that's a good confession. The angels will hearken to that. If, and here's the big if, they hear those words coming out your mouth. Now, if you just frame it, you know, and just hang it on the wall, and you never say it, you haven't done anything. Because the angels don't hearken to framed pictures on the wall. Try and find a scripture about that. The angels hearken to the framed Word of God on your wall. You're not going to find a scripture like that. It says they hearken to the voice of the Word of God. Now you can frame it and put it on your wall as long as you use that as a point of contact and a reminder every day to say it. Now, how often should I say it? I'd say at least once a day. Well, let me ask you this. How many days do you want your angels working on your behalf? Then I would suggest every day. Every day. Okay? Hallelujah. Huh?
Three times on bad days.
Three times on bad days. Okay. Do we have any questions on this?
Here, I think Tammy brought up a real good point. When she's talking a while ago about, she says, you know, I thought that surprises me that I wouldn't go ahead and give it all. But, you know, we've had a lot of good teaching in that area, Gary, without pointing anybody out. That's the way, I was trained like that all my life, not to do. God, you know, tell me to give 50. Well, It took me a long time to understand that's what he meant, mm-hmm. because of my training that I had to overcome.
Yeah.
You know, most churches that I went to when I was younger, you know, they kept you there till they got it all.
Yeah.
It was not God's best.
And it, well-meaning people.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not that
yeah.
they meant bad.
Right. No, they did what they all they knew.
Gerald and I was talking. See, he and I have been in some of them churches, boy. I've been in them where they flat lock the doors.
Yes.
Because they hadn't met the budget yet. And they locked the doors. And I mean, nobody's leaving. And they passed that. And that day, at the church I was at, it was a plate. They passed the plate again. Who will give five? Who will give ten? Who will give one? You been in those meetings?
I've sat in on Sunday afternoon, Garrett, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
And it don't end until they get it either.
That's right.
You know? See, Susan, this all flabbergasts her, you know.
I wouldn't go to a church like that.
Well, if that's the only kind of church you ever knew, you would.
And you're a kid.
And you thought that's the only, you thought that's the way it was. Huh?
That's crazy.
Oh, no, they used to do that. Lock the doors, you know. And they'd always, and even today now, and again, well-meaning people, but so many times the emphasis is put on the dollar amount to give. Okay? But the emphasis so often is, no, no. In fact, I'll teach on that with Gerald and I was talking. That's one of my real sore subjects, sir. You know, the emphasis so often is put on the dollar amount itself. Oh, you know, you got to give till it hurts. I can't find that in my Bible. I'm sorry. You know, when God wanted to do miracles, normally He did it like this. He came to that widow, Elijah. He sent Elijah to that widow when, you know, she was fixing to eat their last little cake. She was going to bake a little cake, all she had left for her and her son. And then they were going to die because there wasn't any. I mean, and she only had two. She was going to take two sticks to make the fire to cook it with. That tells you right there it wasn't very big. Okay? I mean, you know, you can't cook a whole lot on two sticks. Okay? But what did God do? He sent the man of God, and he didn't come in there like they preach it and say, well, you give me that cake first. That's not what it says. It says, you give me a little portion thereof. You give me a portion thereof first. See, just a percentage of what you've got first, though. But in other words, put God first. A percentage. Give me some of it. And she did that. And then they, you know, they're the ones that survived through that. The oil never run out. The flour sack, whatever they used, it never went empty. And they were able to survive through that whole famine. Not only the woman, the widow and her son, but also Elijah the prophet. Hallelujah. So, but it's not, you know, the way it's usually preached is give, you know, give until it hurts. Now, God wants some faith with the giving. What He told me was they don't give what I tell them, and they don't give when I tell them, and then they don't give in faith. Primarily meaning they don't ever speak the word over it. They don't speak what my word says, which never activates the anointing. Got that, Tammy? So if God says $20, how much are you going to give? $20, right?
Yeah. It's not just finances.
That's right.
And this is what happened to me after he told me that, about that would be adding to his word. Then after a while, I understood as he explained it to me. He said, as he tells people, gives them the leading with their life, you know, he'll tell them to do certain things, to go certain places. And when they add to his word by their own natural human reasoning, well, maybe he means this. Maybe I better do it. That's adding to his word that he's told them, instead of finding out from him exactly and precisely what his timing is, who, what, where, when, and how, and why.
And also, Gary,
may not tell you why.
What about the sermons you hear from the preachers over the years? One I've heard several. If you feel something inside you, and well, the Holy Spirit, some people don't recognize all they feel is a feeling to give. Well, how much should I give? They'll say to themselves, and they're ready to reach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out and have to see a $10 bill. Well, then something inside you says, go ahead and give 20. And you do that, wouldn't it? And the preacher say, if you do, it's a double blessing. You know, what about them sermons?
You know. Well, you know what?
God gives you, tells you to give $20, okay?
Yeah.
Well, let's make it 40. I feel have a giving spirit, you know.
Yeah.
Let's make it 40 and be double blessed.
No. You're going beyond what God said, and He can't bless that.
That's
He can't bless
I've
it.
Never heard this before.
He can't bless it. He didn't need two boats from Peter.
Sure.
He didn't need two boats from Peter, did he? He did not need two boats. He just needed the one. See, the part we don't understand. Okay, Lordship. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
One more time with gusto. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
I'm not. And neither are you.
Thank God.
And thank God our Lord knows what He's doing. If He asks you for $20, He's got a reason for asking for $20. You don't point in making it 25 like you know more than He knows. Well, He must really mean 25. No. He means 20. But also, on the other hand, it wasn't that long ago one night. We had $130 or $120 in the checkbook. I don't remember. It's right. I'll just say $130. I think it was $100. And he's just flat smooth said, that service that night, I want you to give $100. I wasn't as into that. It wasn't such a, I was on the receiving end of that message that night. $100. Okay. You're right. It's kind of a man of faith and power. Okay, $100. Put it in. Bye. And thank God for His mercy, because while He's training us, I don't even know what I said over that thing. But He blessed us and blessed. Oh, I got to tell you about the one other thing, real quick. Now, in closing.
There we go.
One night at church, Pastor, and when now Pastor Dave hardly ever does this. If he ever does it and you're there, jump on it. He had prayed for me that night. That's the night that I got the new heart. And he prayed for me that night. I fell out. I'm laying on the floor. I can't hardly get up. I'm down there, My legs won't hold me up. But I could hear what's going on. And he brought this lady up. It was Angela. He brought Angela up, the one from St. Louis, a different Angela. And he says, the first man to give her and he phrased it like this, a $50 bill, not $50, but a $50 bill. The first person to give her a $50 bill, God's hand will be on that. Now, I'm laying on the floor, but I happen to know in my wallet that particular night I had a $50 bill. Okay? Now, I believe our pastor is a man of God or I wouldn't be going there. Now, when he says, I don't think he does stuff for show. And if he says something like that, now God talk to him. So I'm not wanting to get, I just already got a new heart that night, I don't want to get all the blessings, but I figure, well, bless God, if I can get up off this floor, get my wallet out, get the $50 and give it to her before somebody else can run down the aisle and give it to her, shame on them. I'm going to get all the blessing I can. So I get up on my knees and I get my wallet out, and I'm still groggy. I'm kind of staggering, and I got this $50 bill, and I go, and nobody, I don't see anybody else coming, and I go, here. And I give him the $50. Now, I keep real meticulous records, always have. I write everything down. I kept track of the supernatural blessings, unusual things, not part of my job, at that time I was still driving for you. Well, no, I thought I was still driving for you, but I wound up never driving anymore. But anyway, the unusual things that happened, I kept track of it. And every week, Dave would have me say, well, Gary, is there anything come in off of that? The first week it was something like, well, yeah, we've had $1,500 come in off of that $50. The next week, $3,000. I finally quit counting when it got to $5,000 off of my $50. Everyone say, quickly,
quickly.
And quietly.
And quietly.
The Lord didn't ask for 75.
The Lord didn't ask for 75.
He didn't ask for 35.
He didn't ask for
35. He asked for a $50 bill. He was serious. And he blessed obedience. Amen. That's the whole message. I forgot about that. But you remember that? And I finally quit counting it, $5,000. I don't really know how much come in. I just quit counting it after that. But I know it went over went to $5,000 off of that $50. You call that a pretty good deal? The Lord ever says give $50, will you give it? Yeah? All right. Listen real close. No, I'm teasing you. What say?
I said, but I'd want to give 100.
Well, I'm not saying that the Lord wouldn't bless that. I don't really know. I don't want to get too dogmatic about this. Okay, I mean, he does love a cheerful giver. Yeah, well, yeah. But the point is, if he asked for 50, again, I like to go back to that same example. He didn't need two boats from Peter, did he? He didn't need two boats. There was no point in doing that.
He told me specifically not to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he told me the other day I was going to go ahead and give 75 so we could round it off to $100 for the week. And he said, "What did I say?"
But that's like sometimes he'll tell us specifically what to give on the offering on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't hear anything, then it's like it's up to us.
Yeah.
You know, we can decide how much we want to give.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because listen, a lot of people in here, maybe you're not hearing the Lord that often. We are not saying don't give until you hear the Lord. We're not saying that. No. He gave us guidelines. Now, if you're at the point right now, I would follow the guidelines in the Bible. Give your 10% in offering. I mean, give your 10% to tithe, and I like to put an offering with that. You know, I want to make something, you know, with that. And if he doesn't tell us, me and Sue, anything, you know, it's really kind of up to us. If I don't hear anything else from him, if I had, $400 come in that week, $40 tithe, that's kind of our just normal thing, unless I hear something otherwise from him, you know. But now when he says, and you know, you've heard him, don't be looking at me like you never heard him, you know, give $100. You know. But he means give $100. And I'll tell you, he'll bless it. He'll bless it. Especially if you'll start speaking where those angels can go to work. You know, it's awfully hard for the Lord to bless us when we tie the angels' hands behind their backs that he has given us to bless us with. For y'all on tape, Daryl's here tonight, and he's one of these tree sprayers and all that, and he works a crew. How good a crew are you going to have? Let's say you had 10 top-notch Cracker Jack A1 men in your crew. But what if every one of them came to work every day and I'd handcuffed their hands behind their back? How much good they're going to be to you? See, the Lord has given us angels to prosper us in our way. Those angels hearken to the voice of the Word. So if we don't voice the Word, guess what we've done? We've tied their hands behind their back. And then we go blaming God. Well, my angels aren't working for me. Is there any word being voiced out of your mouth? Well, no. You know? Well, you tied the angels' hands. They're the ones that the Lord sent to bless you. They're the ones that's supposed to prosper you in your way. See? You see what I'm saying? You could have the best crew in town, but if their hands are handcuffed behind their back, they're not going to be much good to you, are they?
No, no.
Okay? Well, take the handcuffs off and voice the Word. And then, now, have some coffee and some pop and some cookies. We're through closing now.